Paul wrote to the Romans that things written aforetime were written for our learning. He's speaking of the Old Testament there. And we do not live under the Old Testament. We're not going to be judged according to the Old Testament. But aren't you glad we have it? Aren't you glad that we know so much about how God treated His people, how God responded to situations, and we can look at situations and see how godly people responded. And sometimes we see how ungodly people responded. We get the positive and the negative. I want to look at one of those such examples today. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 16. We all deal with just times in our life we're just not happy. We don't like how things are going. You know, just maybe mistreated. Maybe the people we counted on the most let us down. Whatever. We just get mad. We get bitter. Got this terrible taste in our mouth and you just can't hardly get rid of it. Something or someone has done something or happened and we've just got this flavor that we don't like. If we let it linger, if it goes from, if it gets in the heart, it just kind of hangs around and it grows and it spreads, it changes everything. It changes our very nature, changes our personality. It changes relationships that we have with people. And David faced such a man. I want to set the stage to save us some time. We're going to look at four or five verses here. But before we do that, we got to get the context right. We got to know who is who and what's going on. This is the United Kingdom. David is king. And Absalom's rebellion has just happened. If you're not familiar with who Absalom is, that's his son. So let that set a second. You think you've been hurt? Imagine you're the queen. Imagine you're the king. And your son, a rebellion would be bad enough. It's your son leading the rebellion. Hates his father so much. He gets him an army up to kill him. So then that the son can then become the king. Just imagine running from your son. That's where David is. He has left Jerusalem in the middle of the night. That's how dangerous it is. Middle of the night. Sneaks across the Jordan River. He's going to go out into what we would think of as the desert area, running from his son. We're going to read later on of exactly how he felt and what he's going through, but just imagine what he's going through, and you'll probably be really close. But while that's happening, you can kind of picture he sneaks away, middle of the night, well, the sun has come up, and they are on this miniature trail of tears. Running from this rebellious army led by Absalom. And as they're walking, they're kind of in a little bit, maybe even a pit or a valley, picture it. And here's this incline that they're walking past. And on the top of their incline is a man named Shimei. He appears in Scripture about this long. This is it. We don't know much about him at all until this event. But pick up with me in verse 5. Have you got the scene? David's running, leaving, trying to get away from a rebellious army. Not the best of times for him. Verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he came forth. And he cursed him as he came. He cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men that were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, get away from here, leave. Yeah, keep on going. Good riddance is the idea. Be gone, you bloody man. The Lord, verse 8, has returned unto you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom to the hands of Absalom, your son. Behold, you are taken in your mischief. You are a bloody man. Can you picture it? I don't know what kind of incline this would have all been, but kind of picture. Here's David, and here he is. Throwing rocks at him. Cussing him. rubbing his nose in it. Yeah, keep on walking, buddy. Yeah, you just keep on going. Good riddance. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't even be the king. Did you catch the family tree? Shimei, the son of Gera, from the family of Saul, the first king of Israel, the one David took the place of. And now we understand the problem. Shimei is jealous. He's blaming David for Saul's mistakes. He doesn't even recognize David should be the king to begin with. And he's just living it up. Can you imagine a grown man throwing a rock at somebody? Grown man out cussing his king. Rubbing is just making a bad situation worse. Look in verse 13. As David and his men went by, Shimei went along on the hillside after him, and he cursed him as he went, and he threw stones at him and cast dirt. So here's a man just acting like a child. And the interesting thing in verse 13, it wasn't just as they came by him. No, he follows them. No, he just moves along with them. As David moves, he moves, and he's doing all of this. What he wants to look at today is this bitterness that he's got that would make a grown man act like this, that would make an Israelite say this about his king, the king of the nation, whom God himself anointed and appointed. And what is going on that would make somebody do this and behave like this? So let's talk today. Specifically, we'll look at this example. We're glad, we ought to be thankful the Spirit revealed it to us. And then secondly, we'll just, as all along throughout the points, we'll try to make some applications. Because, you know, bitterness didn't begin with Shimei. And bitterness didn't end with Shimei. We might not be throwing rocks, but we might enjoy it if we did. We might not be kicking dirt on somebody. We might not be cussing them. But we might have the anger in the heart that would lead to such a thing. Bitterness didn't end with him. So let's make some applications about ourselves. And let's start with the fact that it's all a charade. Everything that Shimei said about David was wrong. Now, I'm sure it was told to him as if it were truthful. But these are false charges. We won't take the time to go back, but let me just take you back through the chronology of this. Shimei called David a bloody man. And Shimei is inferring, you shouldn't even be the king. Saul should still be the king. You know, you're the one that had him killed. It was an insurrection. You're trying to take his place. Well, okay, now you're getting what you deserve. Now somebody's going to kill you and take your place. That's what that was all about. That's what he is inferring. But that's not true. In 1 Samuel in chapter 24, I'm just going to give you the history that you'll probably remember. Saul was chasing David. Saul was so jealous of him because he already knew that God was going to anoint him. And Saul sends the best soldiers he had into the woods to find him. He sent the Green Berets and the Navy SEALs and the Army Rangers and the Marines. He sends them all to go get him. And they can't find him. And there was this event where David and his men are hiding in a cave. Do you remember that? Hiding in a cave. Saul goes into the cave. And it seems to me he was going to the bathroom. He was trying to find a quiet place out of the public. The point is, he's indisposed, so to speak. And he doesn't know David's in that cave. David got so close to him that he took a piece of his clothes and he cut it off. No, David could have just as easily as cutting that garment, he could have cut his throat. But he lets Saul go out. And then David comes out and says, hey, here's how close I was to you. Do you really think I'm trying to hurt you? Stop. That's in 1 Samuel 24. In 1 Samuel 26, Saul is chasing David. What a surprise, huh? Saul's chasing David again. And God causes he puts him to sleep. It just seemed to me this deep sleep comes over Saul and his entire army. And David walks into the camp. and takes his spear. And then goes back up. And when he's a good distance away, he starts waking up. Hey, Saul. Hey, wake up. Hey, look what I got. Look how close I got to you. And the point he's making is, if I wanted to kill you, I wouldn't have took this sword and come outside the camp and woke you up. I could have stuck you to the ground. Could have buried you with this sword. I'm not trying to hurt you. Shimei's wrong. His whole hatred is based on something that's not even true. David could have killed Saul twice that we know of, but he would never have harmed the king of Israel. He would have never harmed the one who God himself put on the throne. And yet Shimei accuses him, and he hates him for something he's bitter about it, cussing about it, throwing rocks about it, and it's all groundless. So there's the first problem is, not the fact that he is bitter, but the fact that it's all based on a lie. Now, application time. Have you ever heard somebody, "I appreciate you hi-hatting me yesterday"? What? Yeah. Walked in right by you. I was waving. I was driving down the street. Oh, you're too good for me, huh? I'm being silly. But have you ever, something similar, some little nitpicky thing, has somebody ever gotten mad at you about something and you don't even know what they're talking about? And they've got these grudges now. They've got these bad feelings now. And it might be something that's baseless. Have you ever gotten bitter and you hang on to it even if somebody apologizes? Now, we're up in the ante. The first example was, there's not even a basis of it, but they're just mad anyway. Secondly, maybe there is some basis for it. Maybe we did. Maybe I did do something to you. And I come and confess it. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm going to try to be better. You know, I've made it right. And you hang on to it like it's the bubonic plague. It just hangs around and sticks around. And now like Shimei, you just got these feelings and it sometimes spews out. And sometimes sometimes the whole thing's not even real. Sometimes it's just got to be let go. And let me give you a third example. We get bitter at somebody, and all they've done is just show some concern for the soul. Have you ever gone to somebody, maybe in this process of falling away, you know, just no longer even trying to live a life for God, getting themselves into immorality, getting themselves into whatever? You just try to, you need to consider what you're doing. And then now they're mad at you for it. Has that ever happened? I know that it's happened to you. It's happened to probably every adult in this room. Concern makes you bring up something. And the fact that you bring it up, now you're public enemy number one to them. That's the stuff we're looking at. That's what bitterness can do. That's how far it can spread. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. We're going to make applications to ourselves and God as we work our way deeper into the lesson. But just look at the admonition. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Read the last two verses with me. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you. Don't let it hang on. Put it away. Then he gives this contrast. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, we probably all need to make a real quick mental prayer. It's a good thing God doesn't forgive like us, isn't it? Think about what we, in the past, have had to ask Him to forgive us of. Think about some of those humiliating things we've had to confess. Think about some of those weaknesses. Think about some of the just stubborn. Think about all the times we've had to go to Him and say, "Please forgive me." And He's promised that He would. And we trust Him to be faithful to that promise. Aren't you glad He doesn't hang on to the bitterness? And so then why do we hang on to the bitterness? Sometimes it's groundless, like it was with Shimei. Sometimes it's not groundless. Sometimes there are real events that can separate people. But we can't live our life being sucked in by it. We can't let the bitterness control us, because in time, ultimately, it's coming out. Might not come out as plainly as it did with Shimei, but it'll change how we think. It'll change how we talk. It'll change how we behave around people. False premises. Isn't it a shame that man acted like he did because he had wrong information? Here's another thing. Shameful thing. It had been nurtured for years. By the time of Absalom's rebellion, David had been king for 20 years. Think about that. 20 years. That would be like me and you today. Going back to what? I'm not real good at math. What did that be? 2001. Somebody does something in 2001 that we didn't appreciate. And it has consumed us since? What kind of life is that? Heard somebody say one time, anger, how was it he phrased it? Anger is like poison that you drink and you're hoping the other person dies from it. Think about that. 20 years of anger. 20 years of bitterness. 20 years of stewing and hating and probably all these emotions that finally came out, just building, and 2 decades worth of it. What does that do to somebody? This comments to Shimei's heart. 20 years of just polluting himself with all this stuff. In verse 31, we just read this, but look at verse 31. Put it away. The opposite of that is hanging on to it. There are things you go to the store, you buy these stuff, and you put it on the shelf. Imagine just buying a can of green beans and sticking it in your purse and carrying it for 20 years. How silly would that be? No, you get it and you put it away. Put it away. Put the anger away. Let it go. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to have us turn to Philippians 4. I'll remind you of there as you're turning. Philippians 4 is where it talks about, think on the things that are holy and just and pure and lovely. And then he repeats himself. Think on these things. And so to the Ephesians, put this away. Don't let these thoughts consume you. To the Philippians, hold on to these. These are what you do want. And what we can do, we see, that's easier said than done. Well, that's for sure. But don't take that next step of saying, you can't control how you think. Actually, we can. People that say, you can control your actions, but you can't control how you think. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 gives the opposite of that. Look in verse 3. Let's just start there. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We're in a battle with Satan. It's a spiritual battle. That's what he's saying. It's flesh, not a fleshly war, spiritual war. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. It's not guns. It's not tanks. But they are mighty. They're not a tank, but it's mighty. It's not a nuclear bomb, but they're powerful. It's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Before we keep reading, maybe bitterness is one of those strongholds. Maybe hatred and anger and vent up frustration. Maybe that's what's got the hold on us. There's a powerful weapon that can control those things. That can bring them down. Verse 10. Casting down those obstacles and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't ever say again, we're not responsible for our thoughts. We're responsible for our actions, but you can't control how you think. Yes, we can. The problem is, we just maybe have never tried to bring them into captivity. It's bringing into captivity every thought. Can you imagine when this was written? a war takes place, a battle takes place, and this city beats this city, and now the leftovers are now captured. And so they're in chains. And maybe one of them starts to drift away, and you just yank him. Hey, get back over here. He's chained. He's a captive. He's going where you let him go, and he's not going anywhere else. That's what it's saying about our mind. Bringing into captivity every thought. Sometimes our thoughts sway toward the anger. Our thoughts sway toward immorality. Our thoughts, they sway. And you yank it back. You've got it under a chain. And you bring it back into captivity. You don't let it control. You don't let it wander. You don't let it decide. Bring it back. We can't control our thoughts. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. This is not on your outline, but turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I should have put this on and I didn't. There's a phrase that's used when talking about bitterness, and it certainly applies to Shimei. 20 years this anger grew. Here's how the Hebrew writer describes this pent up stuff. Look at verse 14. Follow peace with all and holiness without which man shall see the Lord. So that sounds important, doesn't it? We're not seeing the Lord without it. So whatever this is, it needs to get our attention. Verse 15. Looking carefully, lest any man fall of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness, think about that phrase, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubling you and defiles you, lest there be any fornicator or profane person or as east, on it goes. Root of bitterness. I work in the yard a little bit every day, and that's not an exaggeration. It might just be a 45-second loop around the house, but I'm just going to go check the flower bed. Does anything come up? Did something spring, did a weed spring up overnight? Weeds can come up really quick. You know, an acorn drops, the oak tree drops the acorn. Those things spring up. The pine cones, you know, they got this little bitty pine. And if you keep a handle on your weeds, that little bitty pine thing sticks up, and you reach down and you pull it out, and it takes zero energy. Let that thing keep on growing. Just walk by it. And walk by it and let it hang around. And it's not this anymore. It's a 15-foot tree. Let it hang around. It's not a 15-foot tree. It's a 30-foot tree. It's, roots spread. And roots get deeper. And roots get far-reaching. We understand that with a tree. And he uses that when talking about these feelings that we get. The root of bitterness. Let it hang around. Now pull it out real quick and it's easy. But let it hang and let it stay and let it feast and let it eat and let it grow. Let 20 years pass like Shimei does. And we're saying things we wouldn't have said before. Let 20 years pass and these roots have grown out and spread out and we're doing things and claiming things we might not have ever claimed before. It just spreads. And so we've got to be able to pull them out quick before these things happen. Don't be content to just let those feelings linger. It was based on false premises. It hung around for years. We're trying to figure out why the man acted like he acted. And we're getting close, aren't we? He rejoiced at others' misfortune. Go back to 1 Samuel 15. I asked you earlier to pretend you were David. You are the one your son is attacking. If David had been attacked by the Philistines, it's another day at the office. If the Egyptian army had come up, it's the same old, same old. This is his flesh and blood. This is his son. And they're trying to kill him. I ask you, how would you think about that? How would you feel about that? Probably the same way David feels about it. You had your marker placed in chapter 16. Go back to chapter 15. Before he even met Shimei, to set the context, here's what he's thinking. Here's what he's feeling. Look in verse 30. 2 Samuel 15, verse 30. And David, this is the night he's sneaking out. This is the night he's running for life. David went out by the ascent of the Mount of Olives, and he cried as he went up. He covered his head, walking barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went out weeping as they left. He's acting the same way I would act. He's acting the same way you would act. He's beside himself. Pain like he's never felt. David is a soldier. David's claim to fame initially was on a battlefield. And now he's crying as he's basically walking away from the fight. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to give you the opposite of this. I will have you turn to Romans 12. You'll remember Romans 12. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Shimei had that as backward could get. David is crying. Everybody who is going with him is in a state of mourning. And Shimei is just throwing salt in the wound. Laughing, spitting, cussing, just rubbing them all. Here's the opposite of that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, writing what we know of as the last letter he wrote, he's not long to live. He's going to be executed very soon. And he writes about a man who helped him when nobody else was helping him. He's on death row, and somebody is sticking to him. In verse 16, his name is Onesiphorus. We don't know much about him, but we know this. The Lord give mercy. Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. And I'll just tell you, when you first start to put the Bible together, you start to put the chronology together, I'll tell you that confused me for a while, because you think about Paul being in Roman prison, and he's writing letters to the Ephesians. He's writing letters to the Philippians. And, you know, Aquila and Priscilla show up, and Luke shows up, and what do you mean nobody's standing with you? That was the first imprisonment. That was when he was under house arrest that we found out in Acts chapter 28. This is the second one. He's just a few days left on this earth. This is when Nero has burned the city. This was when Christians were being killed and their crime was being nothing but a Christian. Paul's on death row. This is not house arrest of Acts 28. This is not when those prison epistles went out. This is when he is in a chain getting ready for his head to roll. And there are people who don't want to be associated with Paul. There are Christians who have, for lack of a better phrase, they've gone underground. Christians are being killed at this point in time. And to go visit Paul in prison would be basically to acknowledge that you yourself are one of that sect. And they didn't do it. Except this guy. He still shows up. Paul says, my chains didn't embarrass him. He came anyway. Look in verse 17. When he was in Rome, he sought me out diligently and found me. He didn't just take a lucky turn in the hallway and there was Paul's cell. No, he went and found him. Went hunting for him. Verse 18. The Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day and in the many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, and you know very well. Here's a man who treated Paul well in the past, and now even when he's locked up, travels to do well again. And now you've got this contrast. You've got Shimei jumping on when it was convenient. You've got Shimei just eating it up. That this self-created 20-year war that happened nowhere but in his own heart. And now here he is just jumping on when it was easy. Making fun of the ones who are already hurt. Laughing at the ones who are already crying. And you've got a man who goes and looks out somebody who sure does feel alone. Paul didn't forget that. Here's an example of a brother who met a responsibility that we all have one toward another. Weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. Shimei got it backward. Aren't we glad not all of God's people got it backward? Now let me give you one more. And that is just, what about the example that he said? How horrible was this example? Cussing in front of all those people. Throwing rocks and kicking dirt. It's just a grown man acting like a child. Just a real quick an example. Those that are sports fans, and this is a dated example. When I was growing up, first becoming a baseball fan, and those that are my age and older, you'll definitely remember the name Billy Martin, manager for the Yankees time and time again. He managed 5 or 6 teams. He's a Hall of Famer. But when he got mad, he was an imbecile. And he would go out, and he's spitting on umpires, kicking dirt on them, waving his arms. He acted a fool. Now, I happen to have a biography, an autobiography that he wrote. He did that for show. I mean, he was a mean man. I mean, he did have a cruel state to him. But what he was just making a show. And he admitted that. He was just trying to get his team fired up. He was just wanting to vent some steam. But still, to see grown men act silly, it's not very fitting, is it? And by the way, here's what makes this even worse. We're studying this event, as Romans said, because it's written for our learning. We're just trying to make applications from it. When it happened, the law of Moses was in effect. And if Shimei is from the family tree of Saul, that means Shimei was a Benjamite. He's a Jew. He's an Israelite, which made him under the law of Moses a child of God. So now I'll repeat the statement. A child of God acting like what we read about in 2 Samuel. Acting a fool. Acting sinful. Saying horrible things. Doing horrible things to another child of God, another brother. And here's what we were looking at. The root of bitterness. Those things happen to us. Some of them are imagined, not all of them. They're real. But they take root in the heart, and they hang around, and they hang around, and the roots get deeper, and the roots spread out, and now 20 years have passed, and in time, it spews out. We've all been guilty of when it spews out. There's all things we'd like to take back. There's things we'd like that we say, I wish I had not said it. I wished I had not done it. I wished I had... I reacted instead of responding. And yeah. When it comes out, it affects people. First of all, it affects Shimei. It affects the bitter person himself. Second person it's going to affect is the one that is the so-called enemy, real or imagined. But go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 12. Well, you may still be there. That last passage that we read. I want to emphasize a word that we just read through earlier. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Look diligently, lest any man fall from the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and many be defiled. Shimei was affected. David was affected. And everybody else there too. There's a many that's just lumped in to that verse. One person's root of bitterness, but many affected by it. Many defiled by that. So let's go back one last time to the text you had marked, 2 Samuel. This time turn to chapter 19. We got to see how this ends, right? And as you're turning those 3 or 4 pages from chapter 15 to chapter 19, imagine that as the war. David escaped from Jerusalem, gets out to the wilderness, and basically regroups. He gets his men ready. Absalom has his, and they did meet on a battlefield. And with God's help, David's victorious. David was the anointed. Absalom himself killed in that battle. And now David, in chapter 19, is not sneaking out of Jerusalem in the middle of the night. He's coming back to Jerusalem, conquering king. He's going back to the throne. He's going back to what was always his to be. And now our friend Shimei shows up. Pick up in verse 16. Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was a Bahurim, he hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there was 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and 15 sons and 20 servants with him. And they went over the Jordan before the king. They're trying to cut him off at the pass. They're not waiting for David to cross back over the Jordan. They have crossed the Jordan to go to David. They're trying to get to him before he gets to them. Verse 18. They went over on a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought was good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he came to the Jordan. And he said, King, let not my Lord impute iniquity on me. Do not remember what your servant did perversely that day, that my Lord the king went out from Jerusalem, and that the king should take it to heart. Absalom has lost. The rebellion is over. David is returning home, and Shimei goes, and he falls down to the ground, and he says, please forgive me. Don't remember what I said. I said horrible things that day. I'm sorry. Don't hold it against me. I take it back. Don't show any iniquity to me. Well, first of all, let me just ask you, does that sound like a pretty contrite statement? Yeah. I acted perversely, he said. I said things I should. This is an acknowledgement. This is not one of those Hollywood, if I have offended anyone. No, I offended you. I said it. I did it. I'm sorry. And one of David's mighty men looked at David and said, let me kill him. Let me put this boy out of his misery. Drop down to verse 23. Actually, back up into verse 22. When his servant said, let me kill him. He said, what am I going to do with you? He said, wake up. Are you my adversary today? And now he asked some rhetorical questions. Shall there be any man put to death on this day in Israel? Do you not know that I am this day king over Israel? Let me paraphrase that. What he said, hey, put your sword away. There's been enough bloodshed. Do you remember the fight we just had? You remember how those were? That was a civil war. That wasn't fighting Philistines. That was Israel versus Israel. No, there's been enough Israelite bloodshed. Nobody else is dying today. Verse 23. Therefore the king said to Shimei, you will not die. And the king swore to him. He did forgive him. The one who was harmed forgave. The one who was cussed forgave. The one who was pelted with rocks and dirt and slander and lies and false statements about his character and about how he became king, all of that forgiven. So, real quick applications. If the bitterness, if this is just kind of acknowledged it to ourselves, you know, I've got some of that bitterness. I haven't acted like he acted, thankfully, but yeah, I've got some of that bitterness. I'm holding some very serious grudges. And some of these grudges may be years gone past. And here it is. They've gone, moved on, and I'm still consumed with it. And put it away. That was Ephesians 4. Put it away. Stop the roots from growing. And don't let it lead to further things. Maybe that's our application. Maybe we're like Shimei. Maybe eventually it has spewed out. It's not just buried deep within us. It came out. Maybe we're not the only one who said something we shouldn't have said. Maybe we're not the only one throwing things that we shouldn't have thrown. Maybe it's not just in us. It came out of us. Well, we need to... How about just quote him? I acted perversely. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have done it. Please forgive me. And then David said yes. Now, wouldn't that be great? Get your songbooks out. Wouldn't it be great if that's where the story ended. It does not. There were conditions set on this promise. So let your mind start wondering. The king said, I forgive you, but there are some conditions. And if you were to keep reading, the conditions were, you can't leave the city. You're going to have to stay in Jerusalem. If you leave the city, the pardon is over. If you leave the city, you have to pay for your crime. But as long as you stay there, you're forgiven and there are no consequences to your sin. Death is not going to come. For 3 years, that's what Shimei did. And then at one point, he finds some information out. He goes to the next town over, takes care of it, comes right back. And when David dies and Solomon becomes the next king, Solomon had Shimei killed. He didn't meet the conditions. There was a conditional pardon. There was a conditional forgiveness. And when he violated that, the crime came back to him. How do we apply that? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every adult in this room has sinned. Unless the Holy Spirit's not trustworthy. We've sinned. God promised to forgive us of our sins. And He will. Just like David forgave Shimei for a horrible thing, God will forgive us of horrible things. But there are conditions. If you're not a Christian, here's the conditions. You've got to let your faith lead you to action. You've got to confess Jesus as your Lord. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized to wash those sins away. And those are gone. And then we live faithful the rest of our life. Well, suppose we stop meeting those conditions. Like Shimei, we go back out of the city. We trespass places we don't have a right to go. We get ourselves back into places and things and events and actions that we don't have a right to. Sin back on us. We have to repent again. So Shimei gave us an example of some sincere repentance, but he didn't finish it out. The invitation today is make sure we finish it out. If we need to do something, anything to make right, if our bitterness has caused trouble, then repent. Go to that person, let's fix it. If it's against God, and that's not even a question. Whether or not I've caused bitterness within you, or that, whether you've caused it within me, that's up for consideration. Whether or not we've erred against God, that's a given. That's past tense. We've already done that. Are we going to go home without fixing it? There's our question. If we can help you do it while we stand and sing.